So our awards aren't even televised by our television network. That's great. That's good. Good. That's a good win for horse racing right there. You have to go to expressbet.com to watch the Eclipse Awards. That is a joke. I did not know that. Wow, what a joke.
Two racing dudes named Aaron and Jared who had advice on racing and they wanted to share it. Started a website where players go to see all their picks. The goal was make the fans some money and to cut down the risk. They put the plan into motion and at first it seemed silly. Make a website where the expert picks are freer than Willie. From a racetrack veteran to just a beginner, there's one place that you want to go to find you a winner. As a matter of fact, I want to hit the exacta. There's only one site that you'll keep coming back to. So next time that the horses all line up at the post, make sure you use the website that'll win you the most. Whether Churchill, Oaklawn, Gulfstream Park, Saratoga, and all tracks in between, there's only one site to go to. When it comes to your racing needs and all of your bets, plus it's got a catchy name that no one ever forgets. RacingDudes.com for all of your needs. RacingDudes.com for all of your leads. RacingDudes.com for all of your bets. RacingDudes.com as good as it gets. RacingDudes.com for all of your needs. RacingDudes.com for all of your leads. RacingDudes.com for all of your bets. RacingDudes.com as good as it gets.
What is up? I'm Jared Welch. He's Aaron Halterman. This is Blinkers Off. What's up, man?
Hey, man. One more week until Oaklawn Park.
I thought you were going to say one more week until you get to see me.
No, I don't care about that at all. But I saw you this week. Just not today, but I've seen you this week. Yeah. I got my fix for this week.
That's true. Yeah, and we didn't do anything about the podcast when we saw each other this week. So, but yeah, you know, I'm starting to miss you in the studio here. I mean, it's nice doing the phone calls and all, but I think once we get going for Oaklawn action, which, like you say, one more week, we'll leave a week from tomorrow to Oaklawn for opening day. So then the podcast get pretty serious.
Yeah, that's right. And yeah, this is 3 weeks in a row, I think, we're doing it like this. But yeah, I have a feeling in studio probably from next week all the way up to the Kentucky Derby, because each week it seems like it's just jam-packed with action, whether it be a Kentucky Derby prep race or Dubai or, you know, Oaklawn has a big race for four-year-olds. It's always going to be something from here on out. So it's the best time of year. We're starting to see some of the three-year-olds a little bit, and it's just great. I can't wait for it.
All right. What was the best thing you saw today? Are you ready?
Yeah, yeah, it was kind of funny. The best thing I saw today, and you'll probably never guess this one, was the forecast for the Seattle Seahawks at Minnesota Vikings game this weekend. 3 degrees at kickoff is the forecast for this game. Chance of snow. I don't know. To me, playoff football, that's what it's all about. That's the kind of games that I love to watch this time of year. So everybody's looking forward to the NFL playoffs. I know you are with the Chiefs, and good luck to them. I know how big of a fan you are of them. But, man, 3 degrees in Minnesota, and, oh, yeah, Seattle Seahawks, one of the best teams in the NFL, are also going to be involved in that game. That's going to be a great game.
I did not know that, actually. I'm a huge football fan, but to be honest with you, I've thought about one single game. I don't even remember who else is playing this week. I just know the Chiefs. The Texans play at 3:30. So, yeah, but that's insane. You know, Minnesota, this will be their last year, you know, because next year they're almost done with the brand new stadium, which will be enclosed. So this will be the last year that, I guess, if you want to call it a home field advantage, if they're used to cold. But, you know, Seattle is too, so I don't know if that. But that will be fun. I love cold games.
Yeah, and I figured you were probably focused on that 3:30 in the afternoon game on Saturday. With the Chiefs and the Texans. But the good thing for you, it's good and bad, the time of the game. The good thing is it's the very first game of the weekend, so you get it out of the way. You don't have to stress about it. The bad news is the last time the Chiefs were in the playoffs, they played that exact same time slot and blew, like, what, a 50-point lead. So
yeah.
There's good and bad to it. But, yeah, I like your Chiefs this year. I think they've got a shot, so that's going to be a lot of fun. All these games are going to be good. It's wide open this year.
It really is. I mean, you can make a lot of money if you're in Vegas or whatnot. You can make a lot of money playing this, you know, making some futures, Super Bowl matchups, things like that, because this could be a year. I saw one projection where they actually had in the AFC the 5 and the 6, the Chiefs and the Steelers playing each other in the AFC Championship. I mean, that's crazy. So
It wouldn't surprise me at all, though.
Well, I mean, Steelers could be a one. I mean, if they're a one seed, you'd kind of believe it. You know what I mean? That's how good they can be. So, not that this is not an NFL podcast, although we could talk all about it. But yeah, so definitely, I won't be watching a lot of racing. Let's just put it that way. From 3:30 till about, well, by the time racing will probably be over, by the time the game's over. So I won't be watching a lot of racing come Saturday. So I look forward to you and our Twitter friends updating me throughout the day. Best thing I saw today is a tie, actually. Prayer for Relief. I don't know if many people remember that horse. Off a 9-month layoff for Zayat Stables, is in Maidan, ran today and finished third by half a length in the Grade 2 at Maiden. So that it was a good third. I mean, you make sure you go to our Twitter. We have that retweeted and we posted the video for that. It's a great race. We both love Prayer for Relief. This is a gutty horse. So I was pumped up to see that horse, and you know, he's going to hang out over there. So we'll see him again over there. And clearly he likes the track. So, good things for Zayat Stables overseas. The other thing I saw today that was a tie, I can't talk about yet to our public, to our listeners, you know, big things are coming with the Racing Dudes, and, got a glimpse of it today, and I'm pretty psyched. So that's the other one. I know that doesn't help anyone, really, but those are the two.
I was going to say that's about as lame as you can get. I just saw something that's amazing, and I can't tell anybody about it. Come on.
It's building. It's building the anticipation.
Okay. All right. Well, that's that. I know exactly what you're talking about, and yes, that probably was the best thing I saw today, too, but I knew I couldn't tell anybody about
it. Well, I'm a jerk like that, so I make sure to rub it in their faces.
Right, yeah, well, no argument for me. I totally agree with that.
All right, today's show, we preview California Chrome's return in the San Pasquale Stakes, give rapid fire selections for stakes races around the country, and review Eclipse Award finalists. Let's go. Saturday at Santa Anita Park, race 8, California Chrome makes his 2016 debut. Coming off a 9-month since we've seen California Chrome on the racetrack in a race. Just came out last weekend before the races at Santa Anita and put up a crazy workout. Everyone's psyched to see this horse. Dortmund's already decided not to run against him. He's so scared. We're talking about the San Pasquale Stakes. It's a Grade 2. That's where 200K for 4-year-olds and up, going a mile, 16th, field of 8, but everyone's focused on the 4-horse California Chrome, and really, I guess, Opportunity, the Baffert horse, the 5-horse, I mean, those are the two that, I mean, people are focusing on, but you've got to be looking at California Chrome.
Oh, yeah, I mean, California Chrome is an absolute standout in this race. It should be an exhibition. It really should be, you know, workout or not, this horse is just far and away better than the rest of these horses. And I mean, how many times does he have to prove that he's better than Opportunity? And not only is he better, but he's better by a very wide margin. So it's going to be very exciting. You know, everybody that's followed us through the last couple of years knows that I'm not just an absolute huge California Chrome fan. I always favored Shared Belief. But at the same time, I'm not an idiot either. I know the talent that California Chrome has, and it's something special. So he's very good, and he's in against a field that he's you know, most of them he killed before, so it shouldn't be a problem.
Yeah, I think the only thing that kind of we're talking about is not anything he's facing. Like I mentioned, it was kind of built up that Dortmund was going to be in this race, and we're going to see Dortmund against California Chrome, which, you know, pretty enticing race to see Dortmund go up against older horses and also California Chrome. And then he bailed, so then Baffert throws in his, like, I don't know what, second or third string here, Opportunity, and he's made short work of Opportunity before, so that's not an issue here. The only issue, you know, if you want to call it an issue, is they're projecting we might have an off track on Saturday. We've not really seen California Chrome in that kind of track. I guess that could be the only big question mark.
And that's fair. That's very fair. If you want to try to beat him because the track's off, go for it. I wouldn't blame you. One thing I want to stress, though, if this is a fast track, and you handicap the race, and you think he's going to win the race, and I'm going to go off on a little bit of a rant here. If you go to yourself and you're like, California Chrome's going to win the race, but he has no odds, so I'm going to bet against him. Don't do that. That's crazy. If you think he's going to win and you don't want to bet him because of low odds, just skip the race.
Yeah, just watch
that's
it.
How you lose. That's how you lose money. You know, if you handicap it and you go, well, opportunity is going to be 5-1. He doesn't have a chance, but I can't bet a 1-9, so I'm going to bet opportunity. Just send your money to me instead, and I'll invest it wisely in my pocket. You know, get the same return that you would get betting. Now, if you want to try to beat him in exotics and things like that, that's kind of the name of the game, and you know, I have no problem with it. Or if you truly believe he's going to lose, then obviously you do what you want to do. But don't ever handicap a race like this and say, well, he's a standout. He's definitely going to win, but I'm going to bet against him in a straight wager. Don't ever do that.
But we see that all the time from
all the time
from people, you know, from the betting public. We get people all the time that tell us the same thing. They say, well, you know, it's like, well, you know, like last year is a great example. American Pharoah, besides really the Kentucky Derby, his odds were so low you could hardly ever play him. And, you know, people would say, well, I like him. It's just I can't play him at that, so I'll play far right. And it's like, really? You know, like, so you like the horse, which is great, you know, but you're going to play against him and donate your money. It's like you say, just give us the money. You'll get this, like you say, you'll get the same return and everything. You know, I have more money in my pocket and you have the exact same amount you would have betting far right. So it's a win-win. I've never understood that logic either.
No, it makes more sense if you're going to play like a small exacta trifecta ticket with another horse on top where you're only investing, you know, $3-4, and the return, if the horse like California Chrome would get beat, then the return is huge, and you know, it could really be a nice return. But you know, take Far Ride in the Arkansas Derby is a good example. I mean, his odds needed to be about 50-1 in that race for you to bet him to think, okay, that's the value. I mean, you got like 6, 7, 8-1. That's crazy. He should against American Pharoah, he should be 50-1. So there's no value in trying to bet a straight win wager against California Chrome in this race.
Yeah, and without a doubt, I'm with you. Let's go back to this race. Chrome, it's an exhibition. You know, he put that 6-furlong workout on Saturday at 110 flat. I mean, you don't see horses run that in races. He did it easily. There, you know, you can go to our website and read all the articles we have. We've posted about American Pharoah and his workouts and the quotes and what they're saying and. You know, we've been, like you said, we've been against this horse before. We were smart enough to get on board with him before the Kentucky Derby. But, you know, I'm not saying that to say we were right because we weren't on at first. But the thing is now they're saying that this horse, you know, Espinoza said he felt something different with this horse. The, you know, the clockers at Santa Anita who, you know, were very right about American Pharoah. Are saying some of the similar things, you know, how well this horse looks. He just looks different this year coming back from this injury. And so, you know, there's a lot of things about this horse that could make 2016. I mean, he's already a really special horse, but 2016 could be huge for him. So I think this is kind of a coming out, he's back kind of presentation here. We'll see Saturday.
Absolutely. And one other thing above everything else, that a mile on the 16th, and I think that's probably where he might be even at his absolute best. And of course it's at Santa Anita where he is definitely at his absolute best. So I mean all signs are it's going to just be a romp.
California Chrome, both from the dudes, looking forward to see him on Saturday, Santa Anita. The 142nd running of the $2 million Kentucky Derby Grade 1 will be presented by Yum Brands. It's ran on Saturday, May 7, 2016, and for the fourth consecutive year, the tiered point system in select races will determine who qualifies for the big race. We've already had some of them. The Remsen here recently, the Jerome, the Sham this weekend at Santa Anita. We have the Comte coming up, the Smarty Jones at Oaklawn. But then, you know, when you get into the Risen Star, the Fountain of Youth, you get up to the 50 points. Right now, we're in the spot where 10 points for your winner, 4 for second, 2 for third, and then 1 place for fourth. I mean, give us a couple races here that you're looking forward to that could be, you know, big turning points in these point systems.
Well, I think, you know, really the turning point starts in February and March when they get up to 50 points. And so, first of all, let's talk about, and I mean, this is one of the later races in the whole thing, April 2nd, the Florida Derby, okay? Let's talk about this for a second. Supposedly Nyquist is pointing for this race. You would also think that the Kieran McLaughlin trained and probably number one horse in the, as far as Kentucky Derby future wagers are going to go, Mohamed, it's possible for that race as well. So that is the first race that could be a very pivotal moment on this Kentucky Derby trail. So I would put that right there. The other race that is always pivotal is the Rebel at Oaklawn Park. We're going to get a look next week at some of the locals at Oaklawn that look to maybe be fairly strong, but what's Bob Baffert going to send to Oaklawn for the Rebel? That's always a major question. And that's always a very good gauge for the local talent at Oaklawn, because he's going to send a nice horse, and can we compete with that nice horse? So those two to me are the two that always are, you know, are big swing races. And this year, maybe more than any, are going to make a big difference.
You know, the thing with the Rebel is, you know, we're not only does Baffert send them over, but we've been really lucky over the years that it's not like he sends over just something to run. I mean, he sends out, I mean, American Pharoah, hello, last year, you know, the Factor was one, Bodemeister in the Arkansas Derby, you know, he sends good horses to Oaklawn. So whenever they come to the Rebel, you know, if and when it happens this year, it's a good chance. It's a very solid prospect for Baffert.
Well, and to your point, the Robert B. Lewis on February 6th at Santa Anita is where Moore Spirit is kind of rumored to start next. Not rumored. He said that's probably the likely landing point for him. That race is usually kind of critical, and by that time, he's going to have a plan laid out for Moore Spirit and for Taves on Ice and maybe for a horse running in the Sham. This weekend, if it does well, or you've got two of them that, you know, if they do well, they're not all going to run in California, and it might surprise you. He usually will send his best to Arkansas for whatever reason. So we'll see what happens. But, yeah, he's going to lay that out. I mean, would you be shocked at all to see Moore Spirit in the Rebel? I know I wouldn't, but would you be shocked to see him stay in California? No, probably not either. So it's just going to have to see, but that's always a very pivotal race. And then, of course, the Arkansas Derby and the Santa Anita Derby. That's the other two you look at later down the line. It's going to be big. But with Nyquist moving around like supposedly he's going to do, it really opens up California to a lot of question mark. And so that's kind of the thing. I think we know on the East, Mohamed, Flexibility, Gift Box, those three are going to probably run at Aqueduct and Gulfstream and do very well.
Yeah, I mean, what we found in the past is really all you have to do, I mean, win anything February 20th on and you're in. I mean, 50 points will get you in. 20 points get you close. So all you do is run. I mean, you know, we might criticize Nyquist, but he doesn't have to do a lot, you know, to get in at this point. He's already got points thanks to last year. This is such a question mark. And this year, with it not kind of being wide open still, and I know it is every year at this time, but I think this year more than ever, at least more than recently, you're going to see a lot of horses that come February 20th and on, you're going to, you know, they may not have but one maiden win under the barrel, or one, you know, allowance race under the belt in this year, and then they come up and win second, get first or second in, you know, the Fountain of Youth, the Gotham, you know, the Rebel, whatever, and boom, they're in, you know, they're in the, so you can't sleep on anything that just because you're not seeing it running stakes right now, I think is kind of the point I'm trying to make.
Oh, absolutely, and I really think what's going to happen this year, these first round of preps, all the big guns that have their big horses, they're going to watch these all, and they're going to say, okay, Oaklawn has this, at, you know, stabled with their locals. And then you know, Santa Anita, their locals are looking like this. So they can really spot these horses in good situations to not only make the Kentucky Derby, but go win a nice, you know, purse against some of the weaker competition around. Like take Fairgrounds, for example. what in the hell is down there? Nobody knows. So they will watch that LeCompte this week or next weekend and go, okay, that's a place we can go ship and win a big purse and get Derby points. So we'll see. And maybe Oakland Park will serve like that too. Maybe the Smarty Jones will be ran next weekend and it will disappoint. And then everybody in the country is going to try to ship horses there for the Southwest and the Rebels. So I think these preps are very important to see, you know, how strong are the local horses that are stabled at the track.
Yeah. I mean, as it stands at this very moment, you can go to KentuckyDerby.com to see the rankings, but Nyquist is in the front at 30. I mean, he could wait and run the Derby and be in. So, he's sitting pretty, and that's why they're being pretty cautious with him. Exaggerator's at 16. Brody's Cause has 14. More Spirit, 14 as well. And Flexibility has 14. Then you have Swipe at 12, Air Force at 10, Serval at 10. Air Force, Mohe Man, Greenpoint Crusader, Cocked and Loaded, Riker all have 10. And then from there, you get down to the single digits, and there's several of them. So it's still, you know, besides Nyquist, he's really the only one right now that's in. Even Exaggerator at 16 is close, but I wouldn't quite put him in yet. So lots to happen.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's so exciting. That's what makes this time of year fun, you know? I mean, even when we had American Pharoah last year, but we didn't know he was coming back. So you watch these preps, and it's like, man, the Kentucky Derby can literally come from anywhere, and it could come – you know, this week in the Sham, I really, really don't think it's coming from this week in the Sham, but it could. It could come from anywhere. I mean, mind that came from Sunland, and he finished fourth in that race. So just keep that in mind. All these preps are very important.
Yeah, and, this is the time of the year to be watching them, because this is the one that you can get one sneaky that you spot right now this time of the year that you might see coming running in one of these big ones late, and not only will get a bunch of points and get in the Derby, but you can say, you spotted that horse. So keep an eye out, not just the stakes races right now. These races are pivotal, and I love how it creates gamesmanship with all these trainers and owners, and they're trying to spot where to put, you know, and owners and trainers who have several prospects, you know, in the same barn, where do they run them all? It just adds a lot to the already exciting Kentucky Derby trail. This adds a whole new level of excitement, which makes it fun for the entire, you know, leading up to the Kentucky Derby. So you go to racingnews.com. We'll have a ton of coverage on this throughout the next several months. And let's look forward to Kentucky Derby. Time for rapid fire selections presented by
Simmy Simple Plays, the tip sheet that pays. For a small price, get in on the gambling craze. When you handicap the races and when you make a wager, the goal every time is to cash in major. But if every time you bet, you see your wallet start thinning, racingdudes.com has a way to start winning. Simple Plays, tip sheets you can trust. Even experts agree using them is a must. Whether they bet the Preakness or bet an allowance, our Simple Plays tip sheets have made players thousands. You might think they're expensive and don't give a bleep, but that's not the case, they're incredibly cheap. Even Nick Zito had to say neato when he heard about the Racing Dudes tip sheeto. So, you want to start increasing your wealth? Buy Simple Plays. It pays for itself. Simple Plays. The tip sheet you can cash in on. Simple Plays. Now at racingdudes.com. Simple Plays. Tip sheets that experts use.
Aqueduct on Saturday. It's race 3 on the program. The Interborough Stakes for the 100K for fillies and mares. 4-year-olds and up, going 6 furlongs. La Verdad, the 5-horse at even money. Coming back here and coming back for another year, 6 years old. Even money, what do you think? Is this too short?
No, not at all. I don't think any price is too short on her in this race. I love this horse. I always have. But the thing about it is, I don't think I'm biased. I think I just like her because she's that good. I mean, you look at this race, the second choice on the board right now, or on the board, they're not on the board yet. Second choice on the morning line is a Room for Me, which... people are talking, yeah, you know, that horse has got a chance to beat her. That horse, I don't really think is, you know, close to her. And a matter of fact, when they ran against each other the last time, it wasn't even a race. So I really think La Verdad, if she shows up with her best, it'll be an easy race, and she's an easy single.
All right, well, here comes the me disagreeing with you to start off the rapid fire. I'm not going with, I think she's a great horse. I'm going to just go with the angle that, she's tired. She's going to take a little, had a huge year last year. She obviously was tired at the end of November. She's going to take a race here to get back and loaded. I'm going to go with the outside horse, number seven, Dancing House. And again, I mean, this is basically me playing against what a really good horse is. So it's going to be hard. I mean, you made a great point. There's really not a lot in here. Dancing House is 8-1 out of Tappet and trained by McLaughlin and out of Godolphin Racing. You know, it's good connections, good trainer, good jockey, the whole nine yards. Making first start, though, since April at Keeneland, where, you know, where she did win quite easily. It seemed like once this horse did come off the turf, was a good horse, and now this race is obviously off the turf. Beat a horse last time out in Keep Crossing for Larry Jones, who has since won stakes at Monmouth and Mountaineer and a second at stakes at Delaware. Now, granted, those aren't the most notable tracks, but obviously Keep Crossing is a decent enough horse, and Dancing House beat that horse rather easily. McLaughlin hits at 25% off a layoff. She's 2-for-2 at the distance. I'm taking a shot on the 8-1, number 7, Dancing House.
Oh, dude, now, do you want to get mad real quick? Because I want to make you mad.
Sure.
Sure, you do want to get mad. I thought you'd say no and just move on. I read an article today. McLaughlin is contemplating scratching Dancing House from the race. When he nominated her, he thought that this race would be a real, like, the perfect, you know, setup for her coming back off that layoff, like you mentioned. And then Lavradad entered, and he's thinking maybe this isn't the perfect race for us. So I like your confidence, but I don't know if Kieran has the same confidence that you have.
Well, there you go. That makes a lot of sense, guys. I am the trainer who works with this horse day in and day out, is not confident, but here I am seeing the horse on past performances and watching a few replays, and I am obviously confident. So let's be careful. If he's worried of Lavradad, I'm worried of Lavradad. So if the horse scratches, which sounds like might happen, my second place would obviously be Lavradad, which would fall into the one spot. So we may just scratch all that out and just say Lavradad for both of us.
Yeah, I mean, even if he runs, it means maybe that he had a change of heart. And if he doesn't, well, you scratch into your second pick, which is Lavradad. It's a win-win for you.
Santa Anita Park, race 6, the Sham Stakes. It's grade 3, worth $100K for 3-year-olds going a mile. This, again, this is one of the Kentucky Derby preps. It's worth 10 points to the winner. Field of 9. And you know what? You all depend on us to be honest with you. We feel like we are very honest with you. This race is brutal. It's junk.
I think it's worse than junk. is there something worse than junk?
Without going too mean, no. I mean, it's bad. I mean, yes, you have two Bafferts in here. You've got three O'Neills. You got a Hollendorfer. You've got the trainers. It's just, are these like their C, D strings? I mean, this is pretty bad.
Well, you hope for these trainers that they are their C and D strings, because they're not good. It's kind of funny. Like, I hate the whole angle of turf to dirt in these Breeders' Cup, in these Kentucky Derby prep races, just because I feel like a lot of times it's just a connection, just hoping that the horse takes to the dirt.
Right, because they want to get the Derby, yeah.
Exactly, yeah, and you know, but which I probably would do the exact same thing, by the way. I'm not criticizing, but I usually don't like that angle. I landed on two horses that are my top two choices that are, you know, have ran on the turf only, and then now are going to try the dirt, which is number 9 Collected and number 2 Dressed in Hermes. And I don't like either one of them at all, but I couldn't find anything else to bet. I thought about the maiden winner recently for Bob Baffert, Let's Meet in Rio. But, you know, I rewatched that race, and it's just, I'm not impressed really with that horse that much. I thought about Found Money for Doug O'Neill, the 4 horse, but that horse has been, you know, beaten pretty soundly. In the same way with Jerry Hollendorfer's worth, number 7, I'm Already There. Another one, he's been okay, but man, he's just been crushed in the races that he's ran in. He's finished 3rd, but he'll get beat 7 or 8 lengths. So I just kind of thought Baffert, you know, maybe he can have this horse more ready to roll than the rest of them. So I went number 9 Collected, but I'm not happy with it.
Yeah, that's kind of where I was with when I was going through this race. I'd land on one, and then I'd be like, you know, I'd watch the replay and thought, that's not good. And then I'd watch another one, and that's not good. And so you kind of get to the point where you've got to take an angle that you don't really like to use, but you're kind of out of them, so you've got to go with one of them. Definitely for me, you know, anytime that I have a horse that's coming off the turf to the dirt on these Triple Crown trails, I always take a wait and see approach, just because, like you said, you know, it's clearly just, you know, they're hoping the horse takes to the dirt, and you know, they have a Derby contender at some point. And so until I see it, I'm not ready, you know, not there yet. With Found Money, that was a horse I liked earlier last year. Just the horse is not that good. It could be okay, but don't see enough here for me to make the pick. I went with the one that you mentioned that you didn't necessarily impress so much, and that's number three horse, Let's Meet in Rio. I'm going with the Baffert Progression that doesn't really exist. That's not a thing. But that's what I'm going to go with. That's what I told you. You come up with angles. The first race out for this horse, finished fifth. Not terrible fifth. You know, beating 3.5 lengths. Then ran at Del Mar, and you basically scratched that one out. Stumbled at the start. It was never in the race. And then the next race at Los Al, you know, won. Like you say, it wasn't super impressive, but, you know, won rather easily and beat a horse that's also in this race. If he continues to get better, you know, Baffert hits at 30% coming back from a maiden winner last race, so that's a good percentage. And you get Halterman's favorite jockey, DeSormo, on as well. So I think that combination and the distance. I think the distance is perfect. One last time at that distance. So I guess I'm just hoping the horse continues to get better, but really, I don't. It's going to take a lot out of this race for me to be impressed.
Well, the thing with this race, like, sometimes I will handicap a maiden race, and I will look at, like, say there's 10 horses, and 8 of them have already ran, and look at them, and they're all terrible. And it's like, okay, well, I'll just take the first-time starter and hope he can run anything at all, and then he'll win. That's what if there was a first-time starter in this stakes race for Kentucky Derby Prep, I would pick the first-time starter. That's how bad I think this race is.
Where's Dwayne Lucas when you need him?
Oh, yeah, exactly. He would definitely throw a first-time starter out there, wouldn't he?
Gulfstream Park, race 4 on Saturday's card, the Mershuis River Stakes, the Grade 3. It's worth $150,000 for fillies and mares, 4-year-olds and up, going a mile and 1/16 on the turf. Field of 9 in this one, and led by the number 1 horse from Pletcher Barn, 9-5 on Sandiva. What do you think?
Oh, they might as well rename Gulfstream Park Fletcher Park, especially on a Saturday. He's going to fire his bullets in these races. Sandiva for me.
Yeah, he's hitting at an insane percentage right now. He's like at 19 to 59, like 32% winners right now. It's just stupid. Having said that, I'm not picking him, so there you go. More to come. Just hang on. More to come. I'm actually landed on Mott's horse on the outside, the 8. Tuta Posse, we'll say. I had this name figured out earlier. I was telling Halterman before we got on the air. I had this name figured out earlier, and now I've lost it. So we're going to go with that. 6-1 odds on the morning line on that horse on the 8. Bill Mott train, of course, and you know, the winner of the last two. It seems like the horse is getting a little bit better each time. The first win, I'd say, of these last two was on the lead. The last time it was coming way off. It's going to be a price for sure with Sandiva in the race. I'm not totally, you know, 100% behind Sandiva. So I think if there's a horse that can possibly, you know, it can seem like this is a horse in a field that I'm not super impressed with besides the Sandiva horse. I think if there's a horse that can do it, the Mott's horse seems to be running really well. So I'm going with number 8, Tuta Posse. Race 7, Hal's Hope Stakes, the Grade 3, worth $150,000 for 4-year-olds and up, going 1 mile. Small field here, field of 6. We got three here that have good chances here. Number 1, Matru for Chad Brown. Number 3, Mission Wish, 8-5. And Valid, the 4 horse, 3-1. Which way are you going?
What did I just say on the last one? They should name this Gulfstream Park. No, it's Fletcher Park. Fletcher, again, this wish for me. The 3 horse. Listen, I really like 3 horses in here an awful lot. Martro, Mishawish, and Valid. I like all 3 of them, but I really was impressed. Mishawish, mostly a turf horse, as in all a turf horse, until last time out in the Carter at Aqueduct. Was finished 3rd, did get beat by Macharu, but man, ran really well, and I thought he was going to win the race. So I think he comes back here at Gulfstream, where Fletcher's horses run 10 lengths better. I think he could maybe put on a huge performance.
Yeah, I'm actually with you on this one. I went with Misha Wish for a couple of reasons. One, you know, this is a very established turf horse. We're talking, you know, this horse has won 1.8 million in career, 21 starts, and 20 of them been on the turf. Grade one winner on the turf. I mean, there's no reason to take this horse off the turf, but yet they run him in the Cigar Mile last time out, and while he did finish fourth, it was a great, you know, it looked like he was going to win the race for a second. Now we, you know, he's bringing him back on the dirt is my biggest key. There's a, you know, he obviously is impressed. The horse has been fired a bullet last time, is really working out well. You don't doubt the Silver Genius. This guy knows what he's doing. Todd Fletcher. That's what I'm going to miss you with. Race 10, the Fort Lauderdale Stakes, to grade two. We're 200K for four-year-olds and up, going a mile, 1/16 on the turf. Field of 11 shows up for this one. And your morning line favorite at 3-1, the one horse, my boy Lochte.
That's right. Your friend Lochte's back. I think Lochte's got a great shot. I didn't pick him, though. I picked number 7, War Correspondent, for Christophe Clement. I've been waiting to pick this horse for a while, but every time he's entered, they, you know, it's off the turf and he gets scratched. So hopefully we don't get rain on Saturday and he runs. So War Correspondent for me.
Yeah, that horse is very interesting to me, and I wanted to go that way. But, you know, Lochte holds a special place in my heart. And, you know, at the end of 2015, all kidding aside, at the end of 2015, this horse was running literally better than he ever had in his career. Winning his last three races by a combined 12 lengths. Now he comes back for another year. I mean, talk about an investment, first of all, by the way. This horse was, you know, bought for $60,000, has made over $750,000 on the track, and is still running. I mean, what a horse this is. And really didn't start running well until late. Late in his career, just the last couple of years. Love Gulfstream Park, been training great, and here's the key. He gets Castellano on board. He gets Castellano on board, and Fletcher has a horse in this race. So what's that tell you? I love the angle. And usually you get Lochte a little bit better price, but recently it seems shorter. 3-1, that's fair. I'll take Lochte. The Eclipse Award finalists were announced this week. The Eclipse Awards themselves are going to be being aired on Saturday evening, January 16th at Gulfstream Park, like it is every year. And we'll start with the main one, Horse of the Year candidates, American Pharoah, Beholder, and Run Happy. Obviously, we know who's going to win this award. So really, it's more about with these other two, who are the other two that are going to be nominated, because it's an honor to be nominated. Beholder and Run Happy, two horses. One's a female, and one's a horse that this time last year was no one even knew who it was.
Yeah, exactly, and I have no complaints. That's who I would be. I mean, that'd be my top three. I would vote American Pharoah, Beholder, and Run Happy. So I thought it was perfect. And yeah, you know, you did a poll on Twitter where you asked, should Run Happy be a nominee for Horse of the Year? And a lot of people, a majority of people, said no, and we both said yes. So I don't know if that's good or bad that we agree with the Eclipse Award voters, but anyway, I don't have any problem with Run Happy being a nominee.
Yeah, I totally think. I mean, won 6 in a row. What more could you ask from a horse? And you know, is the second best 3-year-old. I think personally, out of after American Pharoah this year, and American Pharoah obviously did quite well. So I don't have any issue. And Beholder, I mean, golly, what she did in the Pacific Classic speaks for itself. So to me, I think I'm perfectly fine. I mean, my question would be to anybody, who would you put in, you know, and, you know, might say Honor Code or Teppan. Those are two that we've heard. And I agree, I mean, great horses, but could you argue that they're better than what Run Happy did? Especially not Honor Code. I couldn't. So I'm totally fine with it. And again, this night is going to be full of mostly, I was nominated because I was nominated against American Pharoah, or I was nominated against Zyatt Stables or Bob Baffert, Victor Espinoza. I mean, those are pretty much, they're already engraved their names, I think, in the trophies.
Oh yeah. It's going to be and rightfully so, it's going to be American Pharoah dominated. And I'd say that's fine. I mean, he earned it. He won the Triple Crown and he won the Breeders' Cup Classic. So. There's yeah. no you know, there's no debating it. And by the way, the Zayats have to be breeders of the year since they bred the first Triple Crown winner in 37 years. Yeah. And I would think owners of the year for owning the first Triple Crown winner in 37 years. So I think they're a slam dunk. And yeah, Bob Baffert as well.
Yeah, they better make some more room in their trophy case because they got more coming. So let's run through the rest of them. Horse of the Year nominations, American Pharoah, Beholder, Run Happy. Two-year-old males, Aero Force, Mo Heyman, and Nyquist. I don't necessarily. I mean, that's so wide open. I mean, past Nyquist, I think you could go a couple different routes. I have no problem with that. Two-year-old fillies, Catch a Glimpse, Rachel's Valentina, Songbird. This is again kind of like the Horse of the Year. Songbird's got this locked up. It's again, who else are you going to nominate? And stop me on any of these if you have a something to add to these. Three-year-old okay. male, American Pharoah, Dortmund, Run Happy. I mean, obviously Run Happy and American Pharoah, and you could argue Frosted in there instead of Dortmund. Technically Frosted. Yep. I think, honestly, I'd put Frosted in just because he was able to last the whole year.
I would put Keen Ice in because he beat American Pharoah. I would put Run Happy, American Pharoah, and Keen Ice would be the three nominees for me.
That's a good angle. Three-year-old Philly, Found, I'm a Chatterbox, and Stellar Wind. Do you have any comments on this one? Just because it's been such a weird category all year anyways.
You know, I thought Lady Eli would be nominated, but it didn't make me that upset. I mean, she just didn't, and not her fault, obviously, but it just didn't run enough races. And you got to run, So I was a little disappointed, but no. I mean, this is just a very weird year. I guess I'm a Chatterbox will win that thing. But it's going to be... That's one of those. It's just going to be a really weird vote because I don't think anybody knew what to do with that one.
I mean, I think there's two points that I'd make on that division is one, you made the rankings for the divisional rankings for Racing Dudes that came out last week, and Lady Eli was your number one, for mm-hmm. three-year-old filly. So that's number one for the RacingDudes.com. Doesn't make the nomination here. And the other one is Stellar Wind, a horse that you and I both really like. But that's a horse that, say, doesn't run in the Breeders' Cup or the Breeders' Cup distaff or doesn't run well, and it's an afterthought. So that race itself got that horse in having a fighting chance.
She probably would have won this award if she would have won the race. So it was so good for her, but at the same time, if you own her, you're like, oh my gosh, if she just would have won, we could have won the thing. So
yeah, you would have won the race, and you would have won the award.
So. Hopefully she comes back and runs really well next year.
The older dirt male, Honor Code, Leams Map, Tonalist. Talk about, those are three classy horses. So that's a fun division. I mean, where this to mm-hmm. me, it could go. You could go all three. Which way would you go?
On that one, the nominations are exactly right. That's how I'd have them, but I would put it Honor Code, Liam's Map, and Tonalist. I just think that was proven on the track, and that's what you got to go with.
Yeah, I don't know. My question is with Liam's Map, the way he went out. And, I just was watching his replay of that race, the Breeders' Cup, last night. And, that might stick in people's minds. Honor Code, Tonalist did end on a career on a high note, winning for the year's end. So that might be worth noting. But Lean's Map, the way he did that, I agree the Honor Code is probably, you would think would be the route to go. But just be careful. Lean's Map could sneak up and win this thing just because of the rel, what he did recently and how well he did it.
I mean, it wouldn't be the first time that a head-to-head matchup on the track didn't mean anything in the Eclipse Award voting. So it's possible. You're right. But I don't know. I just think in the end, the Honor Code had too much steam all year, too, so I think it's Honor Code.
The older dirt female, Beholder, Sheer Drama, Stop Charging Maria. That's we're not going to talk about that one. Beholder, male sprinter, Private Zone, Rockfall, Run Happy. Yeah, I go Run Happy here, of course, because he beat Private Zone. Mm-hmm. Female sprinter, La Verdad, Lady Shipman, and Wavell Avenue. This one, like it, La Verdad?
Well, it's tough because Wavell Avenue beat La Verdad in the biggest race of the year for these horses. But at the same time, La Verdad did beat Wavell Avenue earlier in the year and probably had the better year. So this is a real bitch. I would take La Verdad slightly over Wavell Avenue, but I would not, argue with anybody one way or the other, depending on how they had them. I mean, you could make a case for both of them.
Mel Turfhorst, Big Blue Kitten, Golden Horn, or the Pizza Man?
Yeah, Golden Horn is just beyond hilarious that he's nominated for this. He ran one race here, and he lost, and he's nominated for this award. Just insanity. Now, Pizza Man and Big Blue Kitten, whatever you want to do there, I would probably throw my vote towards the Pizza Man, but it's close.
Where's the Wise Dan lock when you need him?
Yeah, that's exactly right. We really need Wise Dan here in this one, but not to be.
Female Turf Horse found Stephanie's Kitten Teppin the way she ended the year, and like we mentioned a second ago, with some people arguing that she deserved to be Horse of the Year nominated, I think Teppin wins this award easily.
Yeah, no doubt.
Steeplechase Horse, we don't care. the owners, Midwest Thoroughbreds, Kenneth and Sarah Ramsey, and Zyatt Stables. Again, anything with Zyatt Stables listed is going to win. Breeder, Zyatt Stables, you know, you got Darley, you got Kenneth and Sarah Ramsey, and Zyatt Stables are going to win that one as well. Trainer, Bob Baffert, Chad Brown, Todd Pletcher, three very, very, very good trainers. Again, Bob Baffert's going to win this one. Jockey, again, these are, I mean, once they better space these out, because if you get into these categories, it's going to be pretty boring. the jockey, Castellano, Espinoza, and Ortiz Jr. I read Ortiz Jr. Victor Espinoza, of course, will win that one. And then Apprentice Jockey. Now, what?
I'll stop you, though. I'm going to stop you on that one. I do not think Victor Espinoza deserves that one.
He will, though.
I don't think he should. I think I would vote for Javier Castellano. That guy had an unbelievable season. Much better than Victor Espinoza.
Well, you can, I mean, I get it, and well, I can't remember what the, you know, that he went on that tear where he was winning every single big stakes race this summer.
Yeah.
I mean, every single big one he was winning. So Castellano easily could win this award, but I think just the whole Triple Crown, the Grand Slam, the Breeders' Cup, all that goes into play with Victor Espinoza and just all that he's been doing. He's been all over the media and whatnot, so... It's just, it's not as cut and dry as I mean, I get it, but I think he still wins it. Apprentice Jockey, Cancel, Angel Cruz, and Tyler Gaffaloni. I mean, those are three really good up and comers.
Yeah, I would pick Cancel over Gaffaloni right now, but that's close. I just think Cancel did it in a harder race meet to do it at. Well, Colony, I guess, because he did it all across New York last year. So I go Eric Kinsell.
Yeah, I think I would too. All right, so that's January 16th at Saturday evening at Gulfstream. Hey, we'll be in Hot Springs, so we can we'll go to the races, and then we'll go find us a nice place to eat and drink, and we'll pop open our phones and watch this on the online.
That's right. And usually, I don't know, which TV company is going to air this year? Do you have any idea? I guess there's only one. It's TVG. That's a dumb question.
I think I heard that it was going to be aired on ExpressBet.com.
Oh, really?
Yes. So.
Oh, so TVG does not have the rights to this?
I do. You know, in the press release that I got, and that is about to be posted on our website, I see no part of TVG on this. So it's
so our awards aren't even televised by our television network. That's great. That's good. Good. That's a good win for horse racing right there. You have to go to expressbet.com to watch the Eclipse Awards. That is a joke. I did not know that. Wow, what a joke.
Let the rant start. Come on, buddy. You got it.
Well, I think the ESPYs next year should be on DraftKings.com is where we should be able to view those next year, don't you?
Yeah, I think there, or maybe the with the HGTV, you know, the home, like the home repair.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think the Oscars next year should be on some movie review website. It's the only place you can watch
it. Yeah, it kind of makes you wonder. It's like, you know, the people in our industry can bitch and bitch and bitch about, you know, not enough publicity and sports not growing. It's like, well, what do you expect when, you know, you have this epic year, and then to cap it off, you have your big award show, which is just as equivalent to like the Oscars, you know, for us in horse racing, or the ESPYs on ESPN. You have the big award show on only viewable, and we might be wrong. I mean, this is all we're getting, the information we're getting. But the only spot to watch it is ExpressBet.com. That's insane. That's just insane.
It makes sense because I can remember you're talking about being in Hot Springs. We usually are in Hot Springs when they happen, and they were on HRTV is what they used to be, because we used to go to, well, the last 2 years, I can remember this, we were at Buffalo Wild Wings, and we would watch the football game because playoff football is going on one screen, and they would have the Eclipse Awards on the other. So I guess since there is no HRTV anymore, that they've lost the rights.
I guess. That's great. Great news to cap this one off. So there you go. Watch, I guess, go to ExpressBet.com and watch the Eclipse Awards.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to ExpressBet.com. I'm not going to watch them. I mean, I'm just going to be real honest. You know, I will not watch them because I'm not going to get on my phone while I'm out somewhere and watch them.
That's all the time we have. Check us out at RacingDudes.com for our free picks and our simple plays available every day for Aqueduct, Gulfstream Park, Santa Anita Park, and coming soon, Oaklawn Park. We have best plays, value plays, race plays, BetMix Command Center, and products from Guaranteed Tip Sheet. Make sure you guys check that out as Oaklawn gets closer. Santa Anita running, all the big ones running. So check all those different angles, different ways to help you make money. We're currently covering 15 tracks, all offering free picks. Check that out. We're on Twitter at @race_dudes, LinkedIn, Google Plus, and Facebook. I'm Jared Welch.
Oh, hey, Jared, before you go off here, I'm just reading this about the Eclipse Award.
Okay.
Now, don't worry, folks. If you cannot watch this on TV, because you can't, and you cannot go to ExpressBet.com, don't worry. Tickets are only $400 to this event. So don't worry. It's very friendly towards the horse racing people in the horse racing community. $400. $400 for a ticket to this thing.
That $400, that should get you a seat right next to Dwayne Lucas or something.
I don't know if I would pay $400 even if it did. I mean, that is insane.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that really just tops it off. So it's not on TV, and it's not on our big network. It's not on any other television, you know, station. It's only online, ExpressBet.com, which ExpressBet.com is kind of like, you know, the betting side of things. So that makes a lot of sense. And then if you want to go, you go drive down to Gulfstream Park and pay $400. So there you go. I can't put it to you guys any more simpler than that. I'm Jared Welch. He's Aaron Holtzman. Good luck this week. RacingDudes.com for all of your bets. RacingDudes.com, as good as it gets.